Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 9 of season 5. This one is called A Matter of Time. It was directed by Paul Lynch, written by Rick Berman, and it aired back on November 18th in 1991. In this one, the crew's attempts to save the inhabitants of Penthara 4 from the devastating after effects of a massive asteroid strike are interrupted by the arrival of Berlinghoff Rasmussen, a purported historian from the 26th century who claims to be studying their era. Modi's here to talk about this one. So right after this break, me and Modi are going to talk about the lighthearted romp that is A Matter of Time.
Hope I'm not intruding.
Not at all. I'm sure you're the topic of conversation at every table in this room.
As I promised, here are your assignments. Yeah, I'm sure they'll be painless. Please try and complete them by tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
No problem, Professor.
You're all very calm.
Is there some reason we shouldn't be?
History always records where people were, what they were doing, when important events took place. But it rarely remembers their activity, say, a week before, or a day, or even an hour.
Are you suggesting that an important event is imminent?
I didn't say that now, did I, please? Just go on doing what you're doing and pretend I'm not here.
So would you, for everything else I thought about A Matter of Time as an episode, I have to say that Berlinghoff Rasmussen is the greatest futuristic sounding name of
it really
of all
is,
time.
Yeah. Yeah, Rasmussen especially, I love that part. Berlinghoff, yeah, this was the whole thing works together very nicely.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is named Berlinghoff. If there are any Berlinghoffs out there, I'd like to know. But it sounds like it's appropriately futuristic. Although I guess you could argue it's not futuristic at all unless you assume that guy's mantle.
That's true. He might be using a false name. But why would he? Why would he? He's probably...
Well,
old enough to use his own name.
Well, I guess they could Google him, right? If he is from the past
that's
and
true.
Uses his own name...
They should have done that. They should have used Google.
This is a time travel episode, right?
I guess so.
I'm torn about...
That's core.
I'm torn about whether or not I like the time travel in it. What do you think?
In this one, do I like the time travel? I don't. No, because he's so... I don't know. It's the character, not anything to do with necessarily the premise of it. But the character comes off so much a con artist from the very beginning. Like, he just has just a con artist vibe from the very beginning.
Yes,
and no
does.
One actually trusts him. And it's like you're proved vindicated at the end of it that, like, oh, we didn't trust you in the first place. I'm like, yeah, it's because he's not very... doesn't seem very trustworthy.
No, he doesn't seem trustworthy at all. He's, I don't mind the way that the guy plays the role.
No.
He's not really annoying. He kind of does the Barkley thing where he gets very close to being annoying, but he never actually crosses the line, which is...
Yeah, he's entertaining to watch, I would say, for sure.
That actor is Max Headroom.
And yeah, which I never watched.
He's also the neighbor from
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yes,
yeah.
There you go. Yep, yeah. Yep. So there's that. Yeah, I only know Max Headroom as a cultural phenomenon. I couldn't actually tell you anything about that character.
I had to look up what Max Headroom actually was about.
It started as a Pepsi ad or something, didn't it?
I don't know about that.
Okay. he's something. He's in a movie or a TV show or something, but I feel like he was a corporate creation of the 80s.
Could be.
Anyway, that has nothing to do with that. But I think that the time travel aspect here, I like the idea of what ultimately happens at the end where a guy from the future goes to a person in the past who then jumps back into the future pretending to be from the future. I like that twist.
Yeah.
It feels a little bit lazy on the crew's behalf that they don't really verify anything here.
Right. Yeah, there's ways that Picard could have verified him, even if he was from the future, because I was thinking that Picard has enough contact with people from the future, he could ask him something that he wouldn't know.
Yep.
And this guy seems smooth enough to, get out of that, possibly. But if he asked him, because he returned one of that, there's those futuristic people who are looking for that stuff with the Vash episode,
oh,
right?
Right.
With the Vash episode.
Yeah.
So he could ask them something about that and say, oh, how did this go? And then this guy's not going to have any idea of it. So, I don't know. Plus, they could have just asked him questions about the present, is the thing, with this guy, to prove him wrong.
Yep.
Because you ask him, how does this work, and he just, like, he doesn't know, because it's not invented yet for him.
Right.
Okay, that works. It proves it. They didn't look at it from that perspective, but...
He kind of has a get out of... I like the time travel aspect in the sense that he kind of has a way to not answer their questions is just by saying, like, this would impact your present. Although, that kind of hinges on the fact that no one ever brings, well, why the fuck are you telling us about this at all? You know what
I mean? Why do you dangle it in front of us for the first place, then?
Right. Just the mere... It's like the Prime Directive. It's like, once you know about it, you've changed it. You know what I mean? Once they're aware of you, you've altered the timeline to this point. And Riker actually breaks the salient point of, why haven't we ever seen any other time-traveling historians before?
But that's not even the case, because it does exist.
It does exist.
The guy from the 26th century came back to the 22nd and did exactly what this guy's describing. So that Riker's thing doesn't even hold up.
I was more interested in that story. If I had seen the time traveler from the future going back into the past and then meeting this guy, that's kind of there's a lot going on there. Did he kill him? Is that what we're supposed to understand?
I imagine.
Yeah.
Sounds like. I don't know.
He's an unsuccessful inventor who just happened to stumble across. And I was thinking, just in terms of real life, I mean, I'm no physicist or anything, but does that sort of disprove time travel, that no one has come back from the future? Is that like...
No, it doesn't. There's just one guy ever. It was the very first 26th century time traveler that came back to the 22nd century and studied this inventor, and then it altered the timeline forever because they got killed by the inventor.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I guess that's true. That he
it
would
only
not,
happened once. That's why it never. Yeah, that's why it never continued.
He'd not be present to invent his time pod or whatever he calls it. Oh, that's
the thing. Yeah, wouldn't they know about this Berlingov Rasmussen guy in the 26th century? So why would they go back to visit him?
Right.
Like, just avoid that guy.
Yes.
If you know this happens. So he obviously altered the timeline at some point here, then. So we're living in either a different next generation timeline, or, I mean, from the very beginning now.
Yeah.
This happened back in the 22nd century. So, like, everything that's happened is a result of this guy doing that, basically.
This should have been a movie where they tied in the events of yesterday's Enterprise in a matter of time to combine to create the universe that we're now prime living in. That's weird. I mean, these are the kind of things, like, I don't think this is a super clean time travel story. There's a lot that goes, I like the concept of it more than I like sort of what it means. But I think the episode's, in general, just a very lighthearted affair. It's a pretty lighthearted little romp.
It's probably one of the more comedic episodes of the season so far.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's also starting to, I never really fully consciously realized this, but we talked about this a lot on the podcast, how the show has a formula where it has to stick a sci-fi plot in. And for better or worse, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I thought this one was okay, where the planet is basically doing they're going to stand on their soapbox and warn us about the future, the dangers of global warming.
A little prescient about the global warming and all that stuff.
We spent our entire lives trying not to cause global warming, and now we're going to do it intentionally. What was I going to say? Well... Oh, right. What did you think about the stakes of the B-plot felt very low, and I feel like this ties into the criticism of why he chose to come back to this time. You know what I mean? The crew brings up, like, why did you come back now? Like, what's so special about today? Did you think the B-plot could have been a little bit more serious or sort of heavy? I know that millions of people are supposed to die.
Yeah, you are talking about the survival of an entire planet.
I felt they could have evacuated this. Like, I didn't really...
They did have warning. Yeah, they could have done it.
It felt weird. What did you think about, like, the B-plot as it paired with the A-plot here?
You know, I thought about, like, maybe there's someone on this planet. Because they mentioned, like, oh, what if we saved Adolf Hitler?
And Khan Singh, which is a nice call. A nice inter-series reference.
So, like, it's in that regard, if there's somebody important on the planet, they became famous, like, he invented time travel or something like that, and all because Picard saved them when this time traveler was present. Because, I mean, that has to be part of it. That has to be part of the legend then also. If this is just a sloppy episode. Man, this is a sloppy episode as far as time travel goes.
Yes,
I hate sloppy time travel. so much. No. But anyways, yeah, if someone from this planet would have, like, you know, gone on to do something great, and this is, like, the origin turning point or something like that, then I could see this being an important thing, that they saved the planet, you know,
yeah,
using science or whatever. But, like, you know, I don't know. It doesn't, yeah, from the start, at the beginning, if it had gone off without a hitch, their argument would have been like, well, this seemed to be pretty standard fare. Why are you here in the first place?
Right, yeah, giving out questionnaires.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think it's like, I think you have to go either one way or the other, right? Like, this guy, you either write this episode where this guy is a con man, like they did, or he's actually a time traveler, where the B story amounts to something because he came back to view that. It's kind of a thing of the way that the episode's written. It's also a weird thing at the end where Picard and him have the best scene in this is where Picard and him have sort of an argument about the ethics of time travel. I wish the episode had been more about that and less about the con man thing that it becomes, because right after they have that conversation, he's like, oh, I'm going to leave. You guys save the planet. And Picard and Riker share a look. So it seems like they're suspicious of him from that point. And more suspicious than just caring about if he took their tricorders. You know what I mean? Like, right. There's no... The payoff, it's like, why was Picard and him having this in-depth conversation when they seem to clearly not trust him that much?
Right.
At this
the
point.
The mistrust had developed to the point where they were ready to accuse him as soon as this thing got, like, solved.
Right.
So, also kind of weird that he's like, oh, I'm leaving tomorrow at 9 a.m. or whatever, and it actually worked out that way.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that, I don't know. I don't know what's going on here exactly. Very strange. He went to week after this and got the news and then came back to this, maybe? I don't understand what the con was here.
And do you think, did he pick the Enterprise? Or was this a random?
I don't know. It seems like he would have to have picked the Enterprise because
he knew everything about them.
Yeah.
So did he get that information from the future time pod?
That's my working theory now, is that he came a week after the events of this episode and then got all the news about, oh, what happened here? And then he got Enterprise. So he figured out all the stuff he could about the Enterprise and then came back to con them.
Yeah.
It seems weird that he's a better con man than he's an inventor.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Had this time traveler historian ran into anybody else, there'd be nothing here. But somehow he found the one guy that could, first of all, kill a time traveler, then secondly, have the smooth con man skills to, like, dupe the entire Enterprise.
Yeah, to dupe the Enterprise. And also he has a weird combination of ability to use the time pod and not, because he can pick a time that he wants to go to, but for some reason he can't control when the thing leaves.
Yeah, he just had it on an auto timer for some reason. Why would you put it on an auto timer? That doesn't make any sense.
I would understand if this thing was like pre-programmed and he just kind of hitched a ride and it's kind of like Sliders. He like learns that every 12 hours it jumps to another time period or something, but he does not do that. Also, did you feel that the punishment here was a little excessive on the part?
Oh my god, your entire life is gone now.
Because
congratulations, you basically got the death penalty. That old you is dead now.
Basically, because he stole some trinkets, which maybe would have an impact on the past, but I guess...
It is messing with time pretty severely, so maybe in that regard they did a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. It felt very brutal to just be like, you are now stuck here. And what happened to the time pod? And what happens to the person who finds the time pod?
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know if it was obviously designed to go back to the 22nd century.
Right.
After it was done here. So someone's going to happen upon that time pod then. Or maybe he's got his own ship, but it's just going to be drifting forever out there, just like a lost time machine.
Yeah, maybe it'll
for
just,
some future race to encounter and then destroy for parts or something.
I don't know at what point humanity is in the 22nd century. It's pre-phasers. Maybe they're just starting to explore space at that point.
Didn't they mention nuclear winter? Yeah, they did. Earlier in this episode, they mentioned the nuclear winter on Earth of the 21st century.
Yeah, World War III.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's early 20. I think we're like in the era of like Star Trek's Third World War. It's like 2015, 2016.
Okay. So 22nd century could have been like back to like somewhat normal now?
Yeah, I think it's probably right at the start of the Federation, I would think. Like, it's probably the very initial thing. I know that this is super geeky, but like the Romulan Earth War at first, they didn't have phasers and it was all like nuclear weapon based. So it could be around that era. But anyway, that's maybe the time pod just went back into orbit and they don't have the ability to find it or something like that. Yeah,
And then the people from the 26th century could figure out what happened to it and reclaim it, maybe.
Yeah, you'd hope that they'd have an ability to track it down.
Unless there's just this one guy.
Because
this one inventor created a time machine and came back and was immediately killed.
Right, that's what I was wondering. If he did it off the cuff and it wasn't sort of a understood sort of system to it. Because in the 24th century, they seem to have a good handle on you can't fuck with the past or else it has consequences. So the 26th century seems even weirder. Unless, I don't know, that's why we need the story about what happened when this 26th century guy went back to the 22nd century. We don't get that.
I'd like to see that story of how that came to be.
We don't get that at all. What'd you think of his... I found his clothing to be appropriately futuristic. That he stole from the guy.
I don't know. It was kind of pajama-ish.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's how future clothes work generally, is make it the most like pajamas you can.
Yeah, it's really no belts. Everything is like a onesie. You just put on this little like onesie outfit and put a robe on, and that's pretty much it.
The character actually comments on it too. He's like, oh, these fit me pretty well, don't they?
Yeah. Because everything is vaguely African looking too. It's sort of like multicolored and like squares and triangles.
Yeah, maybe. Yep.
I think this episode goes why you can't use big concepts in a lighthearted episode, sort of. Because you start to pick apart the time problems here.
They're pretty bad though.
They are bad.
Pretty obvious,
and the crew the crew doesn't react to them sort of appropriately, which makes the crew seem kind of stupid.
Yeah, whenever you do time travel, you either have to figure out how it works and play by those rules, but it doesn't seem like that's going on here. Like, the people who wanted, they just came up with the concept of a time-traveling historian that's also a con man, but didn't actually think of the time-travel rules. Like, you think of Back to the Future, there's rules the way the time-travel works in that universe.
Yep.
And here, it either comes down to, can you change the past or can't you, is basically the two concepts you've run into with time-travel. Either it becomes, your interaction becomes part of the time itself, or... And time basically course corrects itself.
Yep.
Or you can change the past, like in Back to the Future, and you can accidentally erase yourself from photographs that shouldn't exist.
Right. Somehow. Yeah. Yeah. And yesterday's Enterprise has kind of shown the TNG's thing is once you go into the past, you change the future.
Like, and they also have alternate timelines in TNG though too. Like later. So
right. Yep.
They have the multi timeline theory too. If you change one thing, then you have a split timeline, and then everything's different.
Yep. Yep.
Because that later, I think season 6, they get into that a little bit more.
And also, it's a big point in Parallels, where Worf is, the season 7, I think, where Worf is jumping between, like, concurrently running universes.
Oh, yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of. I like that episode, actually.
Yeah, yep, that's a real good one. Yeah, it's, I don't know, I think this episode had some really great kind of moments. I think this is a good Worf moment. He has the I hate questionnaires line, which makes me laugh. He's obsessed with the questionnaires that he doesn't want to have to handle, which is funny to me. Beverly Crusher, Gates McFadden has a really nice scene. They tend to always put her in these flirty scenes, but she's good at it, and it always makes me wish that she was more involved in the show.
Yeah, that was a good scene. The I'm feeling influenced part there, and that's the part where you just stop trusting this guy. You're like, okay, he's a dick, and we need to get rid of him now. He needs to die.
Yeah,
basically.
And he took my hypo spray or whatever the hell.
Yeah, the neural stimulant or whatever it was.
And the other thing, he takes like a tricorder or something from Data. I feel like it would be impossible to steal from Data. He would immediately notice
everything.
The tricorder that was here 0.1 second, 7 seconds ago is now gone. What happened to it?
He could tell from the distribution of air in the room that something's changed.
Right. Yeah. So I didn't really buy that. I mean, and this is also a terrible episode for Troy, who cannot sense that this guy is pulling a fast one on everybody. She brings it up as sort of lip service.
He's holding something back, and she's like, and Beverly Crusher's like, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah.
He's trying not to tell us stuff. He just said that.
He doesn't want to tell us all the magical things of the future. And then Troy has a one-off scene. I feel like this was the episode where Troy should have uncovered his lie or something. It felt like it was building towards that, and it never actually got there.
Yeah, she doesn't. She just doesn't like him. Like, she leaves whenever he comes in the room. Like,
right.
Does not want to be around him. And I guess that would have been more helpful if you spent more time with him, because you could have figured this out probably.
Right. But yep.
Whatever.
No, he's not really very interested in working that out. It's really just filler scenes with her. And I
mostly,
guess
yeah.
Someone just sort of so dissent that this person is not everything that they're meant to be. Let's see here. What did I actually like about this? Well, I like the fact that in the B story, the Enterprise causes a problem.
Yeah, that was good.
It's actually a nice touch.
Two episodes in a row where science that they are trying to do something great with backfires, and they used it next episode as well, actually.
Yeah, they did.
But yeah, I do like that. Like, you get the point of, oh, it's the exact spots we drilled into.
Right. Yes. They do the super
rarely
helpful.
Rarely do that. Yeah.
The super helpful that line it up on a computer screen where they're like, this is exactly the same thing. and it was a nice touch. I like the fact that we learned that Geordi is apparently an expert at determining Richter scale earthquakes on his feet. He can just do that. And I didn't realize, is the Richter scale tied to, do you have to be on Earth to only?
Oh, I might have to look that up later. That might be true.
Maybe. Because I know there's something, I know it's logarithmic. I know that about the Richter scale, but I don't know if you have to be on a Earth-sized planet or something, or if it's that specific.
What is the Richter scale actually measuring?
That's a good question. Like, what do you? What are this?
That's the crux of it. Yeah.
What are the numbers that you put in to calculate Richter scale? Yeah, that's true.
I think that's the crux for sure.
That is a good question. I don't know what you would it be.
It's like Scobles to me, like the hotness of peppers. Like, what? Right. What is an actual? What's a Scoble? Like, first of all, let's break it down into units. Like, understands a sliding scale of like how hot something is.
Yep.
And bell pepper is the lowest point. But it's not like, oh, eating this is like eating 1,000 bell peppers. That's not the case.
Right.
You know?
And like, it's always a nice round number. They're always like, this is 100,000 Scovilles. They're never like, this is 9,731 Scovilles.
Yeah, so exactly. It's not an exact science. That's how I feel at Richter scale now, too. And in categories of hurricanes and tornadoes, I think, too. You're just guesstimating, right?
I think, no yes. Science. Yeah, well, hurricanes are nice because it's just wind speed, right? So that's easy.
True. It's a scale of, oh, this is category 5 because it goes this fast. Yeah,
right.
That's easier.
I think is a tornado the same, or is a tornado something else?
I think it's the same. I think maybe tornado might be the size of it, too.
Yeah, I think a tornado is maybe size and duration or something. Anyway, that's another. They should have had that discussion with Geordi on the planet. He should have been
for a Twister fan cast, first of all.
I haven't seen that movie in forever, and I don't.
Oh, man, we did that either.
I feel like that's like an early special effects movie that just would not hold up at this point. Let's see. So I like the actor in A Matter of Time. I thought he was pretty good. I like the scene where Picard and him sort of argue the merits of time travel. I wish that actually amounted to more, because as it stands, it's really just Picard arguing against a person who does not want to have this conversation.
Or can't, because they can't like tell you anything that they... Either they can't tell you anything because they're out from the future, or can't tell you anything because they're lying about everything.
Right, they don't know what he's actually talking about, which is the case here, and it kind of dovetails nicely with he just can't say anything, but other than that, not particularly great. And outside of that, I mean, the ending is... okay, like it all works. The best part of the ending, I think, is Data's line of, I assume the door opens if you're conscious or not.
Yeah, I loved that line. Yeah, that was pretty good. That's pretty badass, Data. You got some good line, like, very good line in there.
What'd you think of the computer deactivating the phaser because the door opened?
I thought that was also a clever, like, turn.
Yeah, yeah.
It all made sense. It all worked. Like, it worked better than the rest of the show did as far as the time travel goes.
Yeah.
Like, right. At least the present works correctly. So I like that.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think it works fine. Or it makes sense with what the thing can do. I like the whole... It sort of makes sense to me that the ship sensors can't penetrate the ship, you know, because it's futuristic.
Yeah.
That all works for me. Outside of that, though, I think we've talked about this one for good. So let's go to final thoughts. We're going to play an audio clip. We'll come back, and me and Modi are going to give our final thoughts and ratings for A Matter of Time.
I was quite content with the notion of returning with these trinkets. I'd invent about one a year. But now, look what fortune has graced me with. You will take a little longer to figure out than a tricorder, but it should be well worth the effort. If the auto timer is programmed the way I think it is, in about 2 minutes, we should be on our way back to a place called New Jersey. I'm afraid you won't be awake for the ride.
I assume your handprint will open this door, whether you are conscious or not.
Everybody dies. It's just a matter of when. You know, that line made the episode feel deeper than it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that is a really good, weird thing to come from someone that's from the past. Like, that's a good perspective.
Right, yeah.
To have, as far as time travelers go. But this guy, why would he think? He wouldn't actually have that philosophy, because he's dead in that opinion then.
Yes. He's passed on, and he's I just super callous towards the millions of people here. He can't help anyway. But that scene, just Patrick Stewart kind of hams it up a little bit. I feel like it's overly theatrical in what he's doing. But I wish the episode, they had an episode that dealt with this, where the time traveler was actually a real time traveler who could have an impact on things. Instead, we get A Matter of Time. I don't hate this episode. I think it has a lot of problems. It's lighthearted mixed with a time travel story, which doesn't always work out the way that you think. What'd you think about this one in general?
I don't know. I was back and forth as far as if I liked the guest actor here or not. I was trying to figure out for a long time who he reminded me of. And I don't think it was like he was copying someone else. I think someone else is copying him. And it reminded me a lot of Jim Carrey, actually, when I'm thinking about it.
Oh, yeah.
The performance here. I was like, oh, is that Jim Carrey from Batman Forever when he's playing Edward Nygma. That seems like the exact same character now.
Yeah, that's true. He kind of reminds me of the Doc Brown a little bit.
I can see that.
The actor a little bit. But I think it's Jim Carrey 90% and then 10% of Doc Brown mixed in. But yeah, that's a good point. He's not as hammy as Carrey would get, I guess. He does have the same sort of energy and the same sort of way of talking.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the weird high pitched like smarminess.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Like this the cleverer than you kind of tone, basically.
Yes. Yep. Interesting.
Anyways, the time travel's sloppy here. The story, I feel like the story that you were saying, like just having the actual historian turn out to be the historian could explore more interesting concepts if you did it right than having him end up being a con man. I kind of want to see that episode of make it turn out the way it's, you know, claims to be without throwing in the get out of jail free card of the con man.
Yeah, I think what you'd have to do is you'd have to have the time traveler go back and get accidentally discovered at a point where something important is about to happen and he really can't affect them.
And then that's what you need to happen. Something you know is going to be important.
Right.
Whereas, this might be important, but you don't know. I mean, it ended up not being.
Right. And it seems totally not important from the get-go. You know, it's not like you're dealing with, writing a treaty or something between warring species.
Exactly.
It's very low-key. It feels like it has no implications outside of for the people on this planet.
It's just another day at the office for the Enterprise, too.
Yeah. That's interesting. I'm going to give this one... I don't hate this one. I think I'm going to give it a 3. It's like a weak 3 for me.
I'm also going with 3. I didn't get my score on there, too. But yeah, 3 is where I was going to go with that, too.
Yeah. I think this is a pretty average episode of Star Trek. I didn't hate watching it. I found it enjoyable, or at least entertaining enough to watch. I feel like it just sort of straddles that middle line of quality. And I don't know if I'd actively watch this one, but I wouldn't be annoyed if I had to.
Mm-hmm. And I agree.
Yeah, that's about it. Well, thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the content. If you did, you're on YouTube. A like and a comment. Appreciate it. If you're on iTunes, a rating and review helps get the show out there. We did get a new iTunes review, and I was going to read it, but apparently you can't read iTunes reviews on the internet, and I don't have iTunes on this computer. So next time, Or maybe not next time, but two episodes from now, we will we'll have that
in
for
the future.
You. In the future,
the future
yeah.
time traveler version of you will be able to read this thing right now.
You know, a podcast is a perfect time. I could just go forward and edit this back in.
You totally could. No one will know, be the wiser.
No,
you'd
won't.
Be a con man then, though.
I wouldn't be. I'd sell it. I'd monetize the podcast and sell it for cash. Anyway, guys, thank you very much for listening. Modi, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you.
We're going to see you in a couple days with Newground, Alexander. Are you excited? Are you excited for
Alexander? I really can't wait. Oh, that's gonna be so good.
See you guys.